You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. ReadyMade Resources has a limited number of PVS-30 night vision scopes for $4,700. These are the top-of-the-line night vision scopes used by the U.S. military, which normally sell for over $11,000. Turn your 12-hour rifle into a 24-hour rifle. Visit ReadyMade Resources to get your PVS-30 today. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Ron Good, author of The Gray Ham. Enjoy the show. The urgency for prepping, it seems to be coming back into full swing. We've got a nutcase in North Korea right now who may or may not have weaponized satellites orbiting around the Earth, which could hit America with a massive EMP attack. What do you think about all that?
Well, quickly getting back to the other thing, regarding Donald Trump, it's so sad that this is where a political system has led us to a candidate, like what you said, him owning casinos and so on, third marriage. So that speaks volumes right there why we should be prepping, because I don't think it's going to get much better. And it's also sad that, again, in my opinion, we had to pick the lesser of two evils. And I'm really kind of tired of doing that. I mean, there were other candidates, I think, that would have done us much better. But, yeah, moving on to our North Korean interesting that this one little country is kind of holding up the world, so to speak, with their threats and saber rattling. And can they attack us on the mainland? I seriously doubt it. I mean, at this point in time, can they do harm to South Korea? Absolutely. Can they possibly hit California? I mean, I don't know. Can they hit Hawaii? I think there's concern that they could. But these last failed attempts of these missile launches show that they're still struggling. But the issue is, at some point in time, they're going to overcome that. And then we're going to have a real problem. And if it, you know, I've never been one for preemptive strikes. You know, I believe what Rand Paul talks about, and Ron Paul, that we don't see that anywhere in our Constitution, to go after a country. So I'm really torn on that, but I think something has got to be done. I'm a firm believer that China needs to really kind of step this up and reel them in, and there's ways that they can do it. My fear is that they won't. You know, I believe they want that buffer between them and South Korea, because they're communistic and South Korea is not, and then you've got this buffer in between there, and I think they're going to play them. I really do. Yeah, I read recently about their satellites that make their way over our country. It's a concern. I mean, I've been reading a little more and more about that, and what's on them? What's on those satellites? I don't know. One thing I do know, and I was just talking to a buddy, a good buddy of mine that's a ham radio operator, just this morning. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. The first person, after they push the red button, a lot of red buttons are going to get pushed, and it's not going to be pretty. All it's going to take is that first one, and then everybody and their brother, I think, is going to get into the fray. And Lord help us if they do, because it's, I don't know that any prepper is going to be able to handle, I mean, you know, fallout from a nuclear bomb. I don't think we are. I don't have a place underground to hide out for a while. But he scares me. But again, our hope and trust is in the Lord. I think that, you know, Lord's going to work this out, and wherever it leads, he's going to be there for us. He's never failed us in the past. He's not going to fail us in the future.
Yeah, amen. Back to the failed missile launches, and that's two in a row. There's a lot of speculation that thinks that could have been a cyber attack by CIA, DIA, somebody like that, that took those out, because obviously the Stuxnet virus that took out the Iranian centrifuges several years ago was some state actor, most likely NSA, CIA, in association with Mossad. So there's certainly that technology to get in and to cause physical havoc through malicious computer code. And of course, we breach the air wall between, you know, an air wall is something where you have a computer system that's not online, that's separated from the internet, that's supposedly not susceptible to being hacked. But what you have is you have all the different people that service the equipment that go in and out, and of course, you know, their computers are all online, so you can hack them and then piggyback in through service companies that come in to maintain the servers or cooling systems or routers or wiring or whatever it happens to be that does maintenance on the hardware of the network. So it may have been something like that where we've gotten into their control systems or the missile itself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that is quite possible, and I don't deny that. The cyber attacks that go on daily, I mean, there's a website that I watch once in a while that shows all these different cyber attacks going on, so I don't deny that at all. I think over time, you know, they create a virus, somebody creates an antivirus, they'll close that door eventually, and then we'll try something new and something different. But in the meantime, I still think they're kind of working on that long-range missile that will eventually come, and that's why I see the need to stop it now. You know, on the other side of the fence, we got Pakistan that's got these capabilities, and that's not the most stable place in the world either. And, you know, so it's I look at all of this, try to look at it from a big picture perspective and say, I honestly believe all of this was foretold. And in the meantime, what do we, kind of like me and you and other people, do to prepare for it? We do the very best that we can. Hopefully our government will do the right thing. But I'm concerned that possibly, you know, they won't. Donald Trump is an interesting character to me. You know, he's a businessman. But I think he's pretty arrogant. And, you know, sometimes arrogant, narcissistic people push too far, can strike quickly and emotionally. And that's a concern that I have. I don't know if you feel that same way or not.
Yeah, he's a wild card. He's a little bit of a loose cannon. I mean, and that's a double-edged sword, because it keeps the rest of the world on their toes, but then it keeps us on our toes too, doesn't it? And on our knees.
Yeah, absolutely. And he, you know, I believe he is surrounding himself with good people that will say, hey, have you considered this, this, or this? I really am thankful. I never had heard about Mike Pence until he chose him as a running mate, and I started to read up on him a little bit. And I think he's kind of the calming factor and will help him maybe reconsider some options. I am concerned that family members bend his ear in a way that, you know, could not be the best course of action for America, but rather because this is what they think should be done. But it's a day-by-day thing. You know, it's like anything. I guess time will tell. It really will. And we just keep looking up to the Lord and saying, it's all in your hands and in your time frame. So here we go. Let's hang on for the ride.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out Silver.com today. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Did you do anything specific to prep for any type of cyber attacks or EMP attacks from North Korea? I know personally, like I said, I'd kind of taken it a little bit easy, like a lot of other folks since the election. And I felt like that we were in pretty good shape and I was able to do that. But one of the things I did, after that little brief hiatus was over is, I topped off my battery bank. I ran my maintenance charge on my solar panels. And I switched out all my gas tanks, my gas cans. I poured all that in the car and put fresh gas in there and put, more fuel stabilizer in the fresh gas, which I hadn't done since hurricane season of last year. So it was about time to do that anyway. Did you do anything like that? Any type of just maintenance stuff that you did out of an urgency that from the headlines?
Yes. From my ham radio gear, we have get home bags in both of our vehicles, and I've got some, 2 meter handhelds in there that are in these Faraday bags. So they're protected. I've taken, some of my other ham radio gear that, is still in a box, like new gear, and they're in Faraday bags, and they're inside of a lined trash can, like I've read about, that you can put the cardboard on the bottom and around it, and then I've sealed them up with aluminum tape. So I've got those in the event that it happens. I went ahead and purchased 2 Goal Zero solar kits, and all of those are in Faraday bags, everything that was bought off of eBay, and I've got them all secured just in case. And I recently talked to a buddy because I just put in a new 1 kilowatt generator that runs off of propane and gas, and he said, well, that is an electronic ignition system, so I need to take care of getting that generator, secured in some type of a, I don't know if I can buy a Faraday bag that big, but maybe wrap it up or pull out at least the circuitry and put that in a bag. So, yeah, a lot of this for me on the prepping end is new, and there's a lot of good information that's out there. So step by step, I'm kind of working through that. Another one is just water. We're blessed that our property is right next to a very large freshwater lake. I've got a retention system on my home so that the rainwater that comes off, the gutters into a diverter system, and I've got 55-gallon drums that diverts into that, and I've got, 220 gallons of fresh water right there. Of course, I realize you can't drink it off the roof, but we've got life straws and all, and I stock up on water. That's one of the biggies. I've got a place to store. My wife and I buy distilled water and, spring water. And every time we use that, like in the coffee maker, I take that empty jug, I fill it with tap water, I put tap on it, I put the date, and it goes up underneath my house. And so far I've got 88 gallons of tap water that is stored up underneath there. So, yeah, there's a lot that we're doing. I think like a lot of people that are preparing that if this ever happens, we can do the best to take care of ourselves. I kind of took a little bit of a long way around it, but yes.
And talk to us about your communications capabilities post EMP. What would you have available after such an event? And talk to us a little bit more in depth about how you have your equipment protected, and then maybe. Also, I keep hearing about the Goal Zero. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it is and what its capabilities are?
Yeah, as far as the equipment goes, the first thing I would highly suggest is some type of a hand crank radio or solar panel that, if we have a grid down situation, you can at least listen to some type of an emergency broadcast and keep it protected. That would be the first thing. I've got a hand crank. It's nothing fancy, but it's got an external antenna jack, so I can plug it in and throw a wire in a tree. Receive and see what's going on, because cable's gone, television, it's all gone. We're going to be going back to the old way of doing things with maybe crackling AM radio. I've bought these off of eBay. They're the Baofeng 2-meter radios. I actually bought 6 of them, and I've got 4 of them that are secured in Faraday bags and completely locked up. I pull them out about every month, make sure the batteries are charged, and put them right back. We have the exact same thing in our get-home bags. I live at my bug-out location, so I don't have a bug-out place to go to. I'm far enough out in the sticks that that's where I live. And when they are turned on, immediately they go to a simplex frequency, because I seriously doubt we're going to have repeater capability. And I can, my wife can turn hers on. We've already talked about this. I turn mine on. It goes to that frequency, and we've got a game plan and what we're going to do if we both happen to be away at the house. Now, the range is limited. I fully understand that. But I work part-time. I'm semi-retired now. And when I am at work, I can turn it on my radio. She can turn hers on. Bang. We're about 4 miles apart. We'll be able to talk to each other and work the game plan to get home. But sadly, my vehicles, maybe this is a good thing or a bad thing, but both my vehicles are pretty new. So EMP, they're fried. We're not probably going anywhere. One thing we are considering doing is putting folding bicycles in our vehicles, so that if this ever happened, you open the trunk and you pull out a folding bike, and it's going to be a whole lot quicker getting 15 to 18 miles back home. As far as my own radio gear, I'm still working on some things with that. I'm looking maybe a large roll of that material that they use for the Faraday bag, and just wrapping my gear up in it, making sure the antennas are disconnected. I've got them all grounded into a grounding rod. So I hope that will work. But, I've got an HF rig that is secured if we ever had an EMP that I can pull it out. To power it, it's a very small unit. The Goal Zero, I looked at a lot of different systems and watched videos and read up before I went with that. I've actually got 2 of them, one that just is very small, and it charges AA and AAA batteries, very small solar panel, and then I've got their Goal Zero 100 that you can power some larger things off of. I bought the complete kit, so it's got the solar panels and everything. And keep them, check them. I think one of the things that I'm learning as a new prepper is you don't take this stuff and put it away and never pull it back out. Now's the time to use it, to try it out, to keep it charged. That way, if the doo-doo hits the fan, you're not scrambling. You know how to use the equipment, and it's kind of like firearms. You don't buy the gun and say, yeah, I shot it once, and then you put it away. It's, you got to stay on top of it so that you are prepared when this happens.
Yeah, I think that's really, really great advice. And talk to the folks. Tell us where we can get the Gray Ham series, and maybe give us a heads up when you think book 2 is going to be out.
Sure. It was released on Amazon Kindle, and the title of the book is The Gray Ham Series, Para CW, and then Accusation. I know that's a very long title. But if they just go into the search part of the Gray Ham series, it's the only book that will come up. I also have a website called The Gray Ham, so it's thegrayham.com. And there's a lot of information there regarding amateur radio and and stuff on prepping. And I'm also in a group on MeWe. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, MeWe.com, but it's kind of the alternative to Facebook. Facebook is really kind of clamped down on some things, and I was thrown in Facebook jail twice for being a little outspoken politically. And so I just decided to get off of it. I'm not even on it anymore. And I have a group on MeWe.com called the Prepper Harbinger. And it's growing. And we, you know, discuss, again, prepping type things. I post a lot of videos from other people on there and a lot of links to what folks are doing. Regarding book number two, I just finished chapter four. I hope to have it out by the end of August of this year, if not sooner. And kind of backing up just a little bit, book one is only available in the Kindle edition. I'm working with a buddy of mine that's an illustrator who's working on the back cover and the spine of the book. So as soon as I get that, it will be available in paperback too. And then the audio book, working on it. I got to get my sales up to get to get the audio book out there. You know, people aren't going to put a lot of time and effort into a book that's right now only sold 20 copies or so. But I haven't even, you know, this is like my first podcast interview, so I'm hoping that will help. You know, but the main thing about all of this, Mark, I want Jesus to be glorified. And if there's any one thing that will lead people into a relationship with him, copy is fine with me.
Amen. Ron, thanks for making time for us today. And thanks for writing a good, entertaining book that that we don't have to worry about being offended with foul language.
Great. And hey, thanks for having me on.
In the Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. Everett and Courtney Carl have survived the Seven Seal Judgments, which devastated the planet. But have their efforts to stay alive been in vain? The next series of judgments to fall upon the earth are known as the Seven Trumpets. Within this series of cataclysms is the earth's collision with a giant asteroid known as Wormwood. The comet will poison much of the planet's fresh water supplies, making survival nearly impossible. With each subsequent trumpet judgment, their odds of living grow slimmer. If Everett and Courtney are to survive, they'll need perseverance, faith, and a great outpouring of providence from the Almighty. Buy your copy of The Days of Elijah, Book 2, Wormwood, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.